Well, you can tell you're worshiping in Illinois when your worship team members are wearing snow boots on stage. Woo! Well, we made it today, didn't we? Woo! Man almighty. That weather reminded me that I am alive. Woo! And reminded me I need to use my back and legs a little more when I'm shoveling snow, but... Or my legs more and my back less, maybe is probably the better way to put that. How's everybody doing today? Good? Good. I am glad to be here worshiping with everybody this morning. I'm glad to be part of this church family. And I am excited to bring you this message today. Now, when I say the word engage, what pops into your head? Yeah, there you go. Maybe a man... on his knee asking his girlfriend to marry him, or maybe two enemies who are engaged in an epic battle, you know, like Star Wars, you know, and the Jedi, and they're engaged in an epic battle. Or perhaps you're thinking about just walking up to someone and engaging them in conversation, much like our hugs and howdies around here, huh? Or maybe you're Star Trek Next Generation fans and you're thinking of Jean-Luc Picard, as he always said, engage, when it was time to get the Enterprise moving. Well, today we begin a four-week sermon series called Engage. This week we are looking at what it means to engage with God. So, what popped in your head just now when I said engage with God? Yeah, maybe the word worship, or prayer, or time in His Word. Serving others maybe popped into your head, or just coming to church. Maybe that popped into your head when you're engaging with God. All good answers. But let me tell you first why we are looking at the word engaged in this series. And then let me tell you what we kind of mean by the word engaged in the next few weeks. When Pastor David and I started talking about this series and the word engage, my mind immediately went to Circuit City Days. About 5 years into my tenure at Circuit City, I was running the Champagne store, and we began to take yearly employment engagement surveys. Any of you do these at work? They're anonymous, and you tell them what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, and how improved. Hey, Steve, Penny just elbowed you there and said, so they do surveys at FedEx, do they? Yeah. That's all right, Steve. Mine elbowed me as I was leaving the pew and said, do a good job. So, but my management team, We would take the test, and we'd get the results, and we'd come up with goals to improve on the low scoring areas of the survey. And you know what? To be honest, my management team excelled actually at this, and really did a good job engaging throughout the year. And our scores were always above most of the others in the region. And I loved this part of my job. It was actually the main reason I jumped from HR management and left store management behind. Because you're working with people and you're finding out what drives them and what engages them, and you're working just with people. It's not just about a number or selling TV or a computer. And here's a quote I found from back in my HR days about why employee engagement is important. The importance of employee engagement can't be overstated. Employee engagement strategies have been proven to reduce staff turnover, improve productivity and efficiency, retain customers at a higher rate, and make more profits. Most importantly, engaged employees are happier both at work and in their lives. When you're engaged, it infuses everything you do with purpose, energy, and enthusiasm. And I found that to be pretty true over the years as I worked through the stores with engagement. And you could tell the stores who had associates who were engaged versus the ones where the management just didn't really care about the associates or take the time to work with the associates in their lives. You could see it in the results. You could see it in the look of the store. You could see it in the customer interaction. And it does make a difference. But you know what? I honestly believe this applies to being a follower of Christ as well. The importance of engaging with God most definitely cannot be overstated. When you engage with God, you will be happier and more content in all aspects of your life. It will fill your whole being with hope, with love, with joy, and purpose. That's why our engagement with God is so important. Carrie Newhoff, who's a blogger, a pastor, an author, a podcaster, he's He's pretty busy. I'm glad I don't have his job. But anyway, he wrote, engagement fuels involvement. Involvement fuels passion. And passion fuels invitation. And he wrote this because he was talking about how engagement's important to growing the kingdom, and in particular growing a church in your community. If you're passionate, if you're engaged, if you're involved, you're more likely to invite others to church. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. But I want to change his. I want to use it, but change it just a little bit. Engagement does fuel involvement. And involvement does fuel passion. But passion fuels our personal relationship with God. Passion fuels our personal relationship with God. When I say engaging with God, I am talking about being actively involved in a personal relationship with Him. That's what I mean when I'm talking about engaging with God today. Now remember what Scripture tells us in John 15, verses 4 through 6. John 15, verses 4 through 6. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be burned. Now, who said that? Who said that in John? Who's he quoting? Who's John quoting here? Jesus, right? These are Jesus' words. These are Jesus' words. God himself, in Jesus, in form of Jesus, says this. If you go a little bit farther in chapter 15, verse 10, Christ goes on, we must remain in him, we must stay in relationship with him, but he also says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. We remain in Christ when we obey his commandments. And if we remember what Jesus told us, in particular in Matthew 22, where he said, we're to love God first and love our neighbors. That's what's his commandments. We display our love for God by pursuing a relationship with him. In other words, by engaging God every day. We love him first. We make him the priority. We engage with him. Additionally, God also told us that he wants us to engage with him. So take a look at Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he was not far from any one of us. God, through his word here, he's told us he wants us to remain in Christ and he wants us to engage with him. He did all this. This creation brought us into this world so that we would seek him and reach out for him. That's what Acts just told us. What could be more important to us? What should be more important than that for us, than engaging with God? So from here, we see it's important, but we need to look at what we mean by the word engage, because engage has many, many meanings. So I went to the website, definitions.net, which then takes and pulls all definitions together from just multiple other websites, such as Webster's and dictionary.com. And I handpicked a few from the long list of definitions off the site. And they should be coming up. There they are. Yep. To engross or hold the attention of someone. Carry out or participate in an activity. Be involved in. Consume all of one's attention or time. Carry on. Well, they mean wars, battles, or campaigns, but in our case with God, we have spiritual war, and then, of course, campaigns with God, missions with God. To devote attention and effort, and to be in gear as two cogwheels working together. If you've ever done anything where God's led you, isn't that the greatest feeling, working tandem with God and letting God work through you? There's nothing cooler than that feeling. And these all definitions we should wrap up and to what is meant by engaging, to engage with God. We want to combine all these definitions. We want to be engrossed into God's work. We want to carry out any activity He has for us. We want to be involved in the work He's doing. We want it to consume our time. You know, there's no reason that even around the family dinner table or sitting playing a game of Jenga or whatever that you can't still remember that you're a family of God and God has something for that family to do. We need to devote our attention and effort, and we need to be working in tandem with Him, letting Him work through us and going along with His plan. That's what it means to engage with God. So I took my little bit of knowledge of employee engagement and what that looks like, and I combined it with what I believe the Bible says an engaged Christian looks like, and created this definition. An engaged Christian is fully invested in a relationship with God and in God's mission, and they know that God's efforts through them will make a difference for His kingdom. They know with confidence that God through them, not anything they do, but God working through them, makes a difference in His kingdom. That's what an engaged Christian should look like. Now I want to ask everybody in here a quick question. I don't need to shout out any answers, but I just want you to think about it. Based on what we just talked about, the word engaged, meaning about being involved and engrossed and all that, did you engage in any part of worship this morning? Whether it was here, sitting here now, or when you first woke up this morning and saw that snow had drifted over your driveway and you had to go out and shovel it again, did you engage in worship this morning? Well, let me tell you a quick story. Jim Dunn was serving as a pastor at the First Baptist Church, and his wife Gladys was a very friendly and welcoming to people. One particular Sunday, when the sermon seemed to go on forever, many in the congregation fell asleep. After that service, to be sociable, Gladys walked up to a very sleepy-looking gentleman. In an attempt to revive him from his stupor, she extended her hand in greeting and said, "Hello, I'm Gladys Dunn." To which the gentleman replied, "You're not the only one." Yeah, see, some of you are just now getting, that's good, yeah. Well, sometimes the expectations we have regarding worship, especially when we show up at church, and what happens are not quite what we're looking for. Maybe we came thinking we needed to hear this particular song because it's been that kind of week. And instead we got the song over here, which we just didn't feel didn't really relate to us that day. Or maybe when we got here, the pastor was had a little more energy than you did. Or the greeters were a little bit more excited about it than you were. And you just didn't need that today. So we get here, and things just don't quite go the way we had hoped they get here. Sometimes even the crazy youth pastor will get rather long-winded or show up with Mountain Dew and get you all a little hyper. And we wonder if he's ever going to stop talking. We allow things like personal preferences or life or work or family get in the way of engaging in worship, don't we, sometimes? The funny thing is we do the same thing when it comes to engaging with God. We let life, we let work, we let what we're hoping God tells us to do get in the way of what He's actually trying to engage with us in doing. And there are six major ways that we engage with God. There really are. One, we can engage with the church and engage with God as a church community. We've done that plenty around here. We've done it a lot over the Christmas season. We did a lot of giving and helping and working together for God's kingdom. We engage with the community. That's another way we engage with God. And we help others and serve others, form a hamet. We engage with the community. We can engage with evangelism. And we can tell the gospel and share the gospel and teach people about Christ. And those first three all have to do with engaging God through His mission. And Pastor David will be looking at those three over the next 3 weeks. But numbers 4 through 6 are engaging God through a personal relationship. And those first three types of engagement that we just talked about, the engaged church, community, and evangelism, they flow out of our personal relationship when we're engaging with God. So I want to look at 4 through 6 a little closer. Number 4, when we engage with His Word, when we engage with the Bible, we engage with God. So, engaging with the Bible. If you look at Matthew 4:4, it should be coming up on the screen. But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Psalm 119, 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And there's many more scriptures about God's word, but just those two in particular. If we're going to engage with God, we've got to engage with His word. We've got to let it guide us. Let His word tell us, help us, show us what to do. We've got to understand that no matter what's going on in life, as 4:4 tells us, that we don't live by what's going on in the world around us or even the food on our tables. We must live by what's in this word, what's in His word. Let that guide us. Let that be what fuels us on. So we got to engage with the Bible in our personal relationship with Christ when we're engaging God. We also have to engage with prayer. Engage with prayer. How many of you believe this? Amen. Yes. Engage with prayer. And there are many more verses on this. I chose just a few. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth." I feel so much closer when I just focus and I sit down and don't let anything in the world get to me and I just have my conversation with God. Ephesians 6:18 tells us, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." We should be praying at all times. And we got to do that. We've got to find time to just say a little prayer. Maybe it's before you walk into the doors at work. "God, what do you want today? What am I supposed to do today? Open my eyes to what you want me to come of work." Before you walk in the doors here on Sunday morning. "Okay, God, this is your Sunday. I'm here to worship you, but man, what do you want me to take away from this day? What's supposed to happen?" I mean, we have got to do this. You do this and you're engaging with God and God's like, "Okay, He's on. He's good," or "She's good. We're ready." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, not much simpler than this. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I really can't say it any better than that. You can't rework what God has created here. Never stop praying. And then, of course, Jeremiah 29:12. "In those days when you pray, I will listen." God's listening. He is there. You've got a captive audience. God is listening to you when you pray. And that is when you're engaging with God. When we're in His Word and when we're praying. When we're talking to God. And number 6, if you've read and you've prayed, you got to listen. We engage with listening. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me." John 8:47 says, "Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God." Psalm 37:7, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about all the evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." And Romans 1:20, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everlasting God made, or everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Do you know we can still hear God today? We can still listen to God today. You know, we didn't get to walk around and travel with Jesus where they got to hear God firsthand. You know, we weren't standing with Moses up on the mount when God was talking to him or in front of the burning bush. We didn't get that. But God still talks to us in other ways. In our Bible reading time, He can talk through His Word. He can hit you where you're at. Anybody been hit hard by something you read? You've probably read it 10 times before, but because of what you were going through in that moment in time, it hits you in such a new way. God woke you up to something. Or when you pray, do you take the time, as I'm just going to say it plainly, do you take the time to shut up? Do you let God talk? Do you listen for that still small voice? Do you let the Holy Spirit come to you and guide you through your prayers? It's okay to petition Him. It's okay to say what's going on. It's okay to ask for God to be with people who are sick, or we got new babies to pray for, and we got so many things going on. It's good to pray. It's good to petition. But take some time to listen. Take some time to listen. Boy, and for us husbands, sometimes that's hard, ain't it? Wife's got a problem, we're going to go fix it. Let's go. We don't listen to always whatever she says. That's the best part about being married. She teaches me so much about my relationship with Christ. To be more patient. Listen for what she has to say. Listen to what she's truly saying. What is God trying to truly tell you? That's engaging with God. When we're in His Word, when we're in time with prayer, and then we're listening for His response. That is engaging with God. If you're still struggling with what it looks like to engage with God, or just need a bit more clarity, the beautiful thing is we have to look no farther than the best mentor anyone could have in our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at Luke 2:49. Luke 2:49. Why were you searching for me, He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Or the footnote says, or be about my Father's business. I love that version of it. Be about my Father's business. Jesus does. The first example He sets for me, I must be. I have to be about. Someone once wrote and asked Emily Post, the etiquette expert of another generation, what is the correct procedure when one is invited to the White House but has a previous engagement? Her reply was, an invitation to dine at the White House is a command, and it automatically cancels out any other engagement. Folks, engaging with God is something we must do. And Jesus knew that. He must be about His Father's business. It takes priority over everything else in life. We can't let life get in the way of engaging with God. We must be about His business. If God asks us to do something, we must be about that request. If God's plan for our lives interrupts our plan, we've got to give way to His plan. And that's probably why many times we don't truly listen to God. Because some of us in our hearts know what He's going to tell us. Anybody ever argued with God? I have. I've lost. Never won. I've never won an argument with God. Oh, I've outwitted a kindergartner a time or two over at Middletown, but I've never outwitted God. He's always won. And we must give way to His plans if we want to engage with Him. Christ shows us that. He must be about His Father's business. We must be about our Father's business. If you go to Luke 22, verse 42, the Bible tells us, and Jesus says, Father, if You are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yes, I want Your will to be done, I want Your will to be done, not mine. Jesus, this is the crucial time. This is where it's all about to culminate in His arrest and His death. And He says, and He knows what He's about to go through. He knows it's not going to be pretty. He knows it's not going to be fun. He knows it's not going to feel good. But He says, yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. Jesus shows us, one, He must be about His Father's business. Two, it's not about us. It's not about Him. It's about God. It's not about me. Now, I want to, I got to get my glasses because I wrote this next part and I hand wrote it, and it's not quite as clear as the lovely computer version. I want to talk to you about a minute about a man who went to work just last week, as a matter of fact, and was mentally prepared to do his part in the big company event. He was ready. He knew he was ready. But unfortunately, his part did not go the way he thought it would. It didn't go the way he thought it would. With 10 seconds left and Chicago trailing 16-15. Sorry, Chicago Bears fans. Kicker Cody Parker came on to attempt a 43-yard field goal that would have given the Bears a victory. 43 yards. Victory. Bears fans were on their edge of their seats everywhere. Some were standing and screaming. Some had their heads buried, already scared of the result. And of course, the ball was hiked, and timeout was called. Cody went ahead and kicked it, if you noticed, and it went right through. Right through. But the timeout was called and it was iced. How many of you seen that new Pepsi? Well, it's not new, but the Pepsi commercial they've been showing all season long where it's Carolina Panthers, kicker goes to kick, and they call timeout. Everybody opens up their Pepsis all through the stadium. Anyway, kicker's iced. He goes up, Cody goes up to kick the next one. Oh, that's why they're not playing this week. He missed. The bounces off the crossbar and fell just short. Parker's reaction right after he missed the kick was clearly sorrow and dejection. But immediately following that, where he was bent over, on the NBC broadcast, he was shown pointing to the sky. Immediately after his initial reaction. And soon after that, he joined the post-game prayer huddle, even though he was getting boos and angered fans everywhere, with members of both teams at the 50-yard line. Those who haven't ever heard Cody speak, he looks forward to actually the prayer at the end. And all they're doing is praying for that if anybody got hurt, that the injuries, they can heal, or, you know, that they made it safely through, and praying for that. But he said, being interviewed later, that something I've always tried to do through good or bad is to give praise to the higher power, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cody could have made excuses. He could have said, well, didn't you see the ball was tipped? He could have made that moment all about his bad luck. He could have whined. But instead, he allowed that moment to be about God. He gave a brief testimony in that answer. That's the example Jesus sets for us in even greater detail when you read the scriptures and read the gospels. It's not about him. He didn't come here. He didn't come here because he was looking forward to the crucifixion from the standpoint of the pain, anguish, emotion, dejection he was going to face. Oh, he came here willingly and wanting because he wanted to fulfill whose plan? God's plan. It was God's story. It was being written and he was going to follow it. It was his Father's business. It wasn't about him. We're about God. If you look at John chapter 14, verses 30 and 31, it says, Jesus says, I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, meaning Satan. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Follow God's direction. Follow his direction. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. Let's go. Let's get this done. We're going to do this. We're going to do what the Father wants done, what he's commanded me to do. Jesus understood that his Father, God, was in control, that he needed to do what God was asking him to do, that God had a plan and he needed to follow it so God could receive the glory. What an example he set for us. And this is a hard one for me because I'm a cruise control kind of guy. I get on the interstate, I want a car to have cruise, and I want to go. Just want to cruise along. I don't want anything come up. I don't want anybody changing my plans. I don't want two trucks sitting next to each other making me hit the brake. I don't want that, right? It's my way of controlling the situation. But Jesus says here, we're not in control. God has a plan. We need to follow his direction and trust. But wait a minute, it's going to be harder your way, God. Trust me. You mean I have to go through this to get to here to make a difference? Yes. I don't want to do that. Trust me. Following God's direction is not easy. It's not always easy. And we sometimes have to go through some things. But Jesus has set the example for us. We must do it. The example's been set. We got to be about our Father's business. We got to keep it off of us and looking at ourselves. It's not about us. And we got to follow his plan, his direction. If we do that, we get into his word, if we pray, if we listen, we will engage with God the way God intended it. We will engage with God and we will make a difference in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. If we engage with God this way, God's church cannot, will not be stopped. And the beauty of it is, I'm going to screw up. You're going to screw up. God still works through that. God still works through that. We serve an amazing God. Amen? The bottom line for this sermon is this. To engage with God, you've got to want it. You've got to want it. You've got to find, make, prioritize time for this, the Bible. You've got to make, prioritize, have time to pray. And you've got to make the effort, make the time, make it a priority to listen. That's how you engage with God. And if you say today, I'm going to engage with God, it's going to happen, then you have to want it. You have to make time for it. You have to prioritize it. You have to stick to it even when times are tough or life has beat you down. You've got to make it happen. My prayer for all of us is something Paul wrote in Ephesians, verse 1, chapter 17 through 19, first part of chapter 9, or verse 19, sorry. I keep asking that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's my prayer for all of us. To know the hope, to believe in the power, to know it works through us, to give us wisdom and revelation. Because if I believe, if he's doing all that the way he's promised to do it, then we're engaging with God. We're spending time in his word. We're spending time in prayer. We're listening for him, and we're getting this information back from God. And we're doing it, and things are happening. If you're a Christian here today and you feel like you haven't been all in on engaging with God, let me encourage you today to re-engage. Whatever's been in your way, re-engage. Engage with God. He's there waiting. He's just waiting. God is awesome and has never, ever forced his way in. But he's right there. All you got to do is turn around. You ever been in a store and all of a sudden you forgot? You're walking through the mall. You're like, oh, I want to stop at the store. You turn around and there's someone right behind you. Right there in your face. Or come around a corner and you're face to face. That's God. He's right there. He's right here. He's there. You just have to engage with him. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter the stuff you've been dealing with or how angry you've been at him. He is right there. For those of you who came here today looking for answers, looking to find out more about Jesus, let me say, God is waiting for you too. He's ready to engage with you for the very first time. He wants it so bad. He wants it so bad. In the comic strip, Dennis the Menace, Dennis and his little friend Joey are leaving Mrs. Wilson's house with their hands full of Mrs. Wilson's cookies. And if you remember seeing this, Dennis is not always very considerate towards the Wilsons, especially Mr. Wilson, who are his next door neighbors. But Joey says, I wonder what we did to deserve this. Dennis is thinking, I've done nothing. And he answered, look, Joey, Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies not because we're nice, but because she's nice. And this is true of our Lord as well. God is always good, amen? God is always loving, amen? God is always faithful, amen? This is the truth that endures. His mercy is everlasting, and there is always, always a fresh supply. Therefore, knowing all of that, whether you've never done it before and you're looking for Christ, it's your first time, or you've walked away a little bit and you need to get back in with God, we can confidently say, and we can confidently know, that we always have the opportunity to engage with God. So I invite you to come forward today during our invitation song and re-engage or begin your engagement with God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to get here and be together as a family. We are so thankful for the opportunity that we get to worship together in your name. And we just ask that you be with us this week as we go forward, that we keep our hearts and minds open, that we're ready to engage with you. Help us to remember that you sent a helper, a Holy Spirit, a still small voice to help guide us. Help us to prioritize and make time for you this week, not just an occasional prayer at dinner time, but to get into the Word, to get into some prayer and listening time. Help us to engage our community, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family and friends around us. Help us to make this week all about you and see where it takes us to in the future. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross. It's in His name we all pray. Amen.